Oh, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, Harmontown is once again in session. We got a goodie for you tonight, everybody. Won't you please welcome the mayor of Harmontown, Dan Harmon.
Yo, 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 yo. Grandmaster, Grandmaster, Master of Rap. Grandmaster, not gonna rap about dicks or ass, sir. Gonna rap about real things. Sophisticated rap, real things. Not ding-a-lings, rap, 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 rap. Not gonna rap about dicks or balls. Not gonna rhyme it with Niagara Falls. Not gonna rap about butts and nuts. Not gonna do it, but it's hard. Just give me a second.
Right, Dan, that really wasn't fair to you.
Give me a...
First of all, welcome everybody to Nerd Melts. Welcome one and all. Thank you for coming. Thank you for listening. Dan, that wasn't really fair because I was just trying out our new theme song for the tour.
All right.
That's our new... We're doing all unlicensed music. It's all our own music.
Yeah.
Yeah, so do you want to start off with a proper rap beat? Because I have a selection of three unlicensed, totally our own rap beats. Oh. And I feel that it's only fair to the audience, for the audience to know that this is the first Harmontown where you are not drinking.
That's true, too. You can probably already tell.
Yeah.
Listen, if it goes...
I will clear this theater.
If it goes poorly, I'll bail, but I'm this cleanse with Aaron. She's my girlfriend. I love her. I do things out of support for her, and also if she's not eating, I won't be fed anyway. So she's doing this four-day cleanse where we drink these green, gooey things, and you don't drink liquor on them. So if the show starts going poorly, I promise I'll just collapse into the bottle. But I wanted to see for the sake of science. more importantly, speaking of science, I just want to... Let's give me one of these beats. I wanna be a good rapper, sophisticated rapper.
Dan, you've probably not heard these. I have three selections from our new musical director, Ryan Elder, who I believe is in the house tonight. Ryan Elder. Because we're making a documentary here, and we can't use Xanadu in some of our favorites because we can't afford it.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well,
yeah,
you people are easy to disappoint tonight.
Dan.
My physical health and our lack of copyright infringement really has you on a tear. You poor fucking babies.
Dan, have a drink.
Sorry.
You have three choices,
right,
Dan.
Two more outbursts like that, and I'll have a drink.
Dan, these are your three rap beat choices. You have sexy slow, you have freestyle, and you have aggressive.
Well, I'm very...
So are you LL Cool J, I Need Love? Are you freestyle? No. Are you Eminem-inant right now? Or are you Beastie Boys?
Let's do aggressive.
You're going to go for aggressive. All right. The audience has spoken. Let's see what we got.
All right, clear your head. No dicks, no balls.
Yeah.
Yo. Yo. I rock the microphone. My name is Dan Harmon. Some people might try to tell you others are charming. God damn it. I fucking suck. I want to get your mom to fuck me. I want to suck her titties and fuck her pussy so hot. I want to fuck your mama outside the front yard. I want to put my dick inside her ground. God damn it.
Now stop it. We're not going to reward me for... I can't take it anymore. We're going on this tour, Jeff. We're representing Los Angeles out there. There's 20 cities waiting for us. Like, I'm not going to roll into Austin talking about dicks and balls and butts. I want to write good music. I want to be a good singer and songwriter.
Well, I don't think people come to Harmontown because you're a craftsman. when it comes to rapping. I think they like the free for all that it is. It becomes very adolescent and puerile.
Well, let's do it this way. Is there? We got a big crowd tonight. Are there any like professional like singer songwriters that
Cambridge educated.
We'll take Oxford, but is anyone Cambridge educated?
Is anybody here that can teach a tutorial for Dan? Eric Idle.
Thank you for coming. Thank God.
I am so sorry for what I've done, but this is very fortuitous, Eric. Thank you for showing up.
Eric Idle, comedic and gay icon. Eric Idle is here.
Yes. That's Jeff Davis, our comptroller. Eric, I'm so glad you're here. You're obviously world renowned for your craftsmanship in comedy songwriting. There's people in this audience who probably have every single one of your songs memorized. I have a problem where I like to write songs and I like to improvise them, but I lose control and I go to a shitty, non sophisticated place. You're a hero of mine, a mentor of mine. Can you please help me? Can you please tell me how to... What would you do if you were going to write a perfect song?
Well, it's a very interesting question, actually. You want to write the perfect song.
Yeah.
Then ask yourself, what's true?
Oh.
Then open your heart, and the truth will start to write the song for you.
Jesus, that's what I'm talking about.
When I first fucked Dan's mother.
What?
She asked me for another, but her pussy was too wide. I fucked his father and nuzzled both his nuts.
Eric.
I doubled his tits and took two shits and put it in their butts. Town, Harmon's mum is on the ground, taking bonus by the pound. Down in Harmontown. Oh, Harmontown, Harmontown. Harmon's mum is on the ground, taking bonus by the pound. Down in Harmontown.
Now, Eric, I have a question.
Yes, sir.
What would you rather do? Fuck Dan's mother in the butt or make her eat your poo?
I've asked myself this many times. And here is my reply. I feed her my poo and fuck her butt too and bid her a fond goodbye. Harmontown, Harmontown, Harmon mum is on the ground, taking bonus by the pound. Down in Harmontown.
Everybody!
Harmontown, Harmontown, Harmon's mum is on the ground, taking bonus by the pound. Down in Harmontown.
You guys are only doing what I've been doing all along. I've fucked a million mamas already. I wanted a perfect song.
So open up your heart, my friend, and tell me what you see.
Both your mothers sucking dicks and drinking all my pee.
Oh, Harmontown, Harmontown, Harmon's mom is on the ground, taking bonus by the pound. Down in Harmontown,
everybody.
Oh, Harmontown, Harmontown, Harmon's mom is on the ground, taking bonus by the pound. Down in Harmontown.
Hey, Eric, fucking Idle.
You see, Dan, you just have to open your mind and let it all come out.
All right, I think I understand.
I mean, sometimes in all of our lives, there comes a crisis when all you really need to set yourself right is for Eric Idle to come out
and remind you that...
Sing about nuzzling your father's nuts.
All right, fine. Well, why don't we keep the... Since I'm sober and I'm no entertainment myself, and since we are going on the road, why don't we keep the mentorship going? you know, see if we can keep getting advice and guidance from people.
Well, I want to ask you a question before you do that. Just while we have the opportunity, we're going out. You just turned 40.
Yeah.
Your 40th birthday was a few days ago. And we're going out on this big tour, which is very ambitious. It's a very long, grueling schedule. What do you hope to accomplish by this? Like, is there a goal for you in terms of like what you want to come home with? What do you want to return with? What's the golden fleece that you expect to get from this?
Well, I mean, I have a couple different goals because I'm not a big planner. I want to, and obviously the show is not like written, and. And that's comp trolling. Strike on the music stand.
Don't fight me.
On the tour bus, I get real rapey.
I'll have to bring some of that cassette head cleaner that the people use. Did you know that? That's a underground
the amyl nitrate kind of stuff.
Well, no, it's like cassette head cleaner. If you huff it, it dilates your anus.
Go on.
End of story. Sorry, Tron. This copy's gonna have to keep the. Not being playable. Daddy's going out tonight. I want to drink so bad. This is what sobriety feels like. It's like it feels like everyone else is drunk. I think one thing that I would like to accomplish is I would like to learn how to love people because my girlfriend wrote this book. She didn't write it. But this is a whole track of conversation that I wanted to talk to everybody about tonight. But I don't want to delay our next guest. He's got an out. I think we should bring him up and talk to him about touring. Please welcome to the stage, Patton Oswalt. Yeah!
Goodness. This is exactly the way that I did it on Comedians of Comedy. Had a massive comedy legend walk out, do a song for free. You know, we had I think we had Steve Martin in Birmingham one night, and Nichols and May came out one evening.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty,
It's a reunion for them.
Yeah, I mean, I just Facebooked them, and they're like, yeah, we'll come down, no problem.
Yeah, I found Eric on Craigslist.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't, you can do, because when I do Python searches, I find way different stuff. I'm just saying. Type in Python. Describe to me the tour. What are you doing?
Don't know.
Help me help you.
We're leaving on the 10th at 10 a.m. as far as I know.
8 a.m.
Okay.
Just let me stop right there. Try to coordinate the day and time. Have them be the same number.
Already, this is already
really
working.
Good luck. Yeah.
I'm already glad we got this guy down
okay,
here.
Okay, good.
Heading from Los Angeles to Phoenix, where we're going to do a show for God knows how many people are actually going to show up.
You're starting the tour. Your first show is going to be in Phoenix. That's the equivalent of, all right, I know that there's some chocolate mousse down the road, but we're going to have cold green beans right now to really make that a treat when it shows up.
Wait, Patton, what do you know about Phoenix that we don't know?
Performing in Phoenix is basically, have you ever been to Phoenix?
Yeah, I was there when I was signing some comic books once.
Oh, okay. Yours?
No, I wrote some for. I didn't sign like just some Iron Man shit that I had.
The way you said it was like I went to Phoenix and signed some comic books.
Just like graffiti.
That's when you were really hammered.
Yeah,
like, oh,
I was at a low point.
Night it started at Cat and Fiddle, and next thing I knew I was in Phoenix signing comic books.
Yeah. It was right after Sarah Silverman fired me. I was just like, I wrote this. that. I wrote this. I wrote that. I was just signing everything. I was signing. You don't care what the answer is. I was signing Rob Schraub comic books that I wrote.
Scott.
Yeah. Scott. Rob Schraub's in the house tonight, everybody.
There he is. Scud the Disposable Assassin. Highly recommended. I believe the hardback collection is here in the store if you want a little.
Yes.
Phoenix is an abandoned moon colony if all of the astronauts were Mexican and on crank. That is how to think of it. That is basically the setting.
Right.
Yeah. And if you see any white people, they are either cryptically racist or so gleefully openly racist that it's kind of charming.
Now, we're kind of hoping because of our podcast that we're going to draw like a similar, you know, essential crowd that we get here. Like, is that possible?
But here's the thing you have to keep in mind. Every city in America has this, these kind of the smart people, the dreamers, the artists. I'm just saying, you are, and may I also point out the pasty and frightened, all right? So before you start going, oh, hey.
Don't run into the street and start fame dancing.
Exactly, yeah.
You'll throw something.
We can do it. Punch. So, but every some cities are a much more soaked sponge than others. So Phoenix, you're really going to be wringing that sponge,
right,
to get as much of this as you possibly can.
You don't have any advice on how I can do that, do you? Don't say morning zoo teams.
No. Well, morning zoo teams, unfortunately, they're A, you have to be funny on their terms.
Yeah.
Which is this weird.
I know, I've done those.
Shouty, desperate.
The satellite tours where you just go, you do a 3-hour block and you just hold there and they go, okay, Dan, are you ready? This is Harold and Kazoo in the mornings. You ready? Yeah, okay. And then you just cut into the middle of this thing and they're like, oh, okay. Up next is some asshole we've never heard of. Awooga! Dan Herman apparently doing something called Exarptable Tarvar. How did you pronounce those wrong?
I love the morning zoos where the guy, the DJ himself, is on the phone using his actual human voice before he brings you on the air going, hey, Pat Knight, thanks so much for calling in, man. I gotta do this stupid show. It's the dumbest thing ever. Look, I like what you do, man, but this is the market I'm in. So you're cool, right? I'm like, yeah, I guess so. Okay, so we're gonna be on in like 3, 2. Hey, it's Flappy the Beaver. We're gonna have a fantastic time. Man, I'm going to King of Queens. Hey, Leah Remedy. Boo! So, hey, let's do some, like, and just all these awful.
And they make you do, they make you, they go,
and then
they,
you,
like, all your, all their inside jokes, you have to, like, join their Smurf patch. And
they're like,
hey, give us an AIDS bomb. What do you, why do you want an AIDS bomb?
I did one where, because I do improv, like, Jeff, you do improv, you're on that show, you did the improv. How about doing a little rap for us about the pinch at the pump?
The pinch of the pump.
The pinch of the pump.
Yeah.
And then, it's all these weird in jokes that they have not filled you in on the beginnings of.
Yeah,
so,
hey,
it's 9:17 on Thursday morning. You know what I mean? That beef pattern. Beef stew? What? All right. And then I also love the weird, if you don't immediately pitch it to their kind of whack-a-doodle, it's a party at 6:18 a.m. If you don't hit that level, they immediately get angry with you and try to get rid of you, like, whoa. Oh, let's get this party pooper out of here and have some fun.
Well, it looks like we just wandered into the fossil yard with a foghorn. Fossil yard with a foghorn.
Right. Well, while Spence puts us all to sleep, I want to tell you about our flapjack snack attack with Foghat down at the IHOP on Route 29. That's right, it's the Foghat flapjack snack attack. Come on down, bring a plate, stack them high. Coming up next, we got the I Hate My Boss donut toss. So bring your card out here. You're going to be tossing donuts off the roof, bring a bucket if you catch one. You get a pair of KTRT, the turtle panties, that you can wear.
Turtle panties?
And it's just...
Turtle panties?
Turtle panties. There are things you're going to have to avoid doing or you'll bring the wrong people to your show. Although, that said, sometimes bringing the wrong people to your show can make the show kind of amazing. If they don't quite know what's going on.
But what I don't want to happen is I don't want the 11 people in Phoenix that actually, like, love me.
Yeah.
I don't want them subjected to the 20 people that wandered into Chuckle Nooks going, like, let's just see comedy tonight. Right. And by that, I assume someone as funny as Patton Oswalt will be coming out here. And then I come out and go, I have asthma. And my girlfriend loves me too much. Sometimes it makes me feel like a bad person. What the fuck's going on here? And then they're kicking my fans' chairs, and I'm like, hey, leave them alone.
Well, one thing that does kind of help if you're on Twitter is interact with people that have been at the show, and if you keep that conversation going, other people from other cities will see that you're kind of, they'll start tracking you as you move across. And I only did that with a website in MySpace. I didn't have Twitter when I was doing
Well, you know, we're going to podcast every single night, we're doing like a show a day, and we're going to get on the bus and then podcast out the performance.
Okay, but let me stop. All right, so. Yeah. That, I know that you're right now in your head, you're like, yes, we're going to document everything, and it's going to be fucking Hunter S. Thompson and the lawyer and the Cadillac, and I'm going to have the typewriter on my lap, and I'm going to chronicle every minute of it.
Yeah, yeah, that's
it. Yeah, you will hit a wall way sooner than you think you're going to hit it, where you are going to not want your life documented. You're like, you will fall into this weird, sullen, I guarantee you one of your podcasts will just be a, hey, it's Dan, and we're in Vegas, and I don't know. I mean, we drove all day, and now we're here. I don't know. I don't know. Fucking know. I mean, it's, so I don't know. It's, fuck. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. What do you want? What do you want me to say? Like, and but it'll be a really, there'll be a weird, insightful moment where you will start to realize, oh. People that are on reality shows that want to be filmed all the time, those, they are sociopaths because they don't hit the wall that I've just hit, where they are never tired of a camera and microphone shoved.
Yeah, they're just
face.
Constantly, they're like solar calculators. There's a little misunderstanding here. The show is going to be the podcast.
Right.
Because unlike you, probably by now you have a solid 3 hours of really refined material that.
Yeah, you're right.
But you're
right. Yeah, go ahead. I'm not gonna.
But. So I can't, when I go out in front of people, I don't, so I'm kind of forcing myself, because what's for sale is not what's for sale with you, so I'm going the other direction and refusing to allow myself to have any, I'm not going to, they're going to be able to hear the show in Phoenix, in Austin, and then I'm going to show up in Austin and go, how about that show in Phoenix? Remember when I got my ass kicked? Wasn't that crazy?
But we're going to be doing shows in various venues where a lot of the audience will be local. Like, they promote their own audience. These comedy clubs promote their own, like, kind of loyal fan base, right, Patton? Like, they have their
We ran into some trouble on one of these because they have some clubs kind of have their own corporate culture where their fans... have a certain behavior that they try to encourage because it just means more sales for them.
Here's your pickle flappers.
There was a
Portland.
There was a club in Champaign, Illinois that set out a thing to its and they had on the website, these comedians love loud hecklers.
What?
So come out and
what?
I swear to God, we didn't realize what had happened until after the show. We went to their website. No, after the show, people were coming up. I've never been in front of a drunker crowd, and they were like heckling as you would walk, like the minute they would go, and ladies and gentlemen, Maria Bamford, God damn it, what the fuck? Like, as you were walking up, they're yelling at you like you're mounting the guillotine, and they're just screaming, you, I'm looking at you.
Everyone walks up with their own folded clothes in their hands. So there's toilet paper flaming coming out of them.
Pat, I don't know if you know this, but we're traveling with our dungeon master because we play D&D in our shows. So Spencer.
Oh, yeah, definitely go to Phoenix then. Yeah, that's your. You guys are like, that's like freedom riders in the South in the 60s. That's going to bulldozers are going to be exhuming your corpses.
Spencer, you're in deep shit, man.
Yeah, yeah. We did a club in, are you doing anything in Washington, D.C.?
No.
All right, well,
are we in Maryland or somewhere?
We're in Arlington, Virginia,
at the Cinema Draft House.
Yes.
Birchmere.
No. Wait.
We're at the Taj Mahal.
In Virginia.
Taj Mahal. I, I did a club called Sir Laughs-A-Lot.
No!
I'm not kidding. Milwaukee.
That's Milwaukee. That's my hometown.
Sir Laughs-A-Lot.
Sir Laughs-A-Lot, the funny business and the comedy cafe. Sir Laughs-A-Lot is,
Yeah.
It's men only.
Well, all I'm saying is we did the Black Cat in D.C., and the show was so packed. It was, I felt very gratified. We have sold out the Black Cat. It was a club I would go to when I was young. Hang on. So... afterwards, I'm talking to the club owner, and he's really nice, and I said, hey, so, really sold the place out, huh? And he goes, you had about 730 tickets sold. And I'm like, well, I mean, it was, like, literally wall to wall. Yeah, I mean, we do a lot of, the place holds about 900. We normally do, like, thrash shows here and punk shows. Your fans tend to be a little... Like, literally, our fans are all these chubby nerds, and they can only put, like, a bunch of little methed-out thrash fans. Yeah, they can easily get 900 of them in there. But our fans are...
I'm very excited to come see Zach Galifianakis and Brian Posehn, and so I got the DVRs catching all the Doctor Who tonight, so I can watch that in the morning. But for the night,
well, that's uplifting. There's sections of the country where this can work in our favor.
Yeah. We have way more math.
It's a full house. There's seven people.
Well, normally, your audience is so fat when they have a full house.
They really, This place holds,
not even full.
Yeah, this place holds 900 punk fans or 11 Rascal Scooters. So you guys did really well tonight. We had.
Well, this has been edifying.
Yeah. So then, Patton, real quick. I mean, I'll just list off from memory where we're going. All right. If one of these cities brings back horror stories or fun memories.
I'll just tell you right now, I can't wait to hear the Phoenix podcast. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
That's going to be interesting.
After that, we go to Austin, Texas, which is good.
That's a gimme.
Then we're going to Atlanta.
Woo!
Atlanta is weirdly either fun or awful. The one thing I love about Atlanta is the freak scene there. That's the one place because the it's so hot and so humid. There's this club. We drove by this goth club called The Vault, and it was like early evening, like 5 o'clock. It had to be 111 degrees out. So watching all the goths with just their makeup, like they're all in black and they're waiting to get into the vault, and they're so committed, but it's all like a goth in Atlanta is a fucking hero. Like that is a superhero when it's like, that black lipstick is just running out. It looked like I was eating dead syrup. That's all it looked like.
We're sold out in Atlanta, aren't we?
Of course you are. Yeah.
And then it's Nashville and Charlotte, and then for some reason. Also, I don't know how many gigs you guys did on your tour. And what the pace was, but it's almost every night we're doing a show. And so after
that's
Charlotte,
how it was for us.
We're
in
Brooklyn the next night from Charlotte.
Holy shit.
And it's going to be January. It's going to be, and then we go up into the north, northeast, and then across the top of the country during late January.
What the, really?
Yeah, it's
my first tour.
Yeah.
It's going to be your last tour.
I didn't want, again, that was sitting right there, but... Well, you know, there's a good chance that you're going to get to be one of those. What else would he have done?
Yeah, what an amazing legend he was.
If that semi hadn't jackknifed on.
Hey, who knows who would have fired him?
Yeah, maybe. Wow, Dan, I don't. Wow, the Northeast in January.
Then there's one night we go from Kansas City, Kansas to Denver, Colorado. That's a long pull, right? That seems.
And also Denver at this time of year is really dicey to get to, with the ice
and the Rocky Mountains.
Yeah, you're getting into like Scatman Crothers in The Shining. Like go get a fucking Hobie Cat or something to get through that snow. It's gonna be bad. I would take some sturdy pioneer women to eat in case you get stuck in a snowstorm or something. What's your pemmican budget on this tour? Holy shit, Dan. Everyone get a clipping of his clothes as a relic, because this could be it. I mean, This is like James Dean, like, fuck off, I'm getting in my convertible. See you later.
It's almost certain that we're going to miss a gig or two on this thing because it's so breakneck and it's going to be bad weather.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's also, you know, the weather's getting worse and worse. You know, like, there's more storms, more traffic. We're fucked.
What the All right, fine, we're fucked.
Goodbye, dude.
I mean, but if you say you're fucked enough, you garner the favor of a very gullible god, right?
Yeah, no, that's true.
Well, it's like in the theater, they say, if you say it, it won't happen. That antler, that moose thing on the wall, it looks kind of rickety. If you said it, it's not going to fall. Like, that's it's that kind of thing.
Just
it's theater
as many weird rituals as you can think of, do them every morning. Spinning Wittershins, rabbit feet, I don't know what. Just
right. Patton, were you guys on the bus the whole time? Were you always in the bus? How many breaks were there? Hotels?
Oh, no, we were always in the bus. Sometimes we would just get a day room where you could use the day room and shower and change because we couldn't afford four hotel rooms. So we stayed in some hotels that were so super, like the ghost of so many ex-suicidal truckers were just crying out from the mattresses. I don't know what kind of hotel accommodations you've... Where do you think you're staying? Or are you sleeping on the bus? Or
there's some things where like we have to get in the bus right after the show because it's a giant like long haul to somewhere else. There will be gigs where we land. We have a couple hotel rooms to shower and shave and that kind of stuff.
Right now, Bob Seger is feeling a huge disturbance in the forest wherever he's sitting. It's like Jesus, someone's gonna die. I feel it. I got to do something.
But I'll warm up my Grammy fingers.
Yeah, exactly.
But at least the bus will be relaxing because there's going to be cameras everywhere, and we're making a movie the whole time.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
And we're podcasting our thing from the bus every day. It's going to be awesome.
I don't... Wow. All we had were cameras. Like, if again, this is... And again, in 10 years, what you're doing is going to seem quaint. Man. Like, yeah. They didn't have any of the anal mics. It was weird. It was only 2013. It was a simpler time.
What's going on in this guy's butt while he's...
Yeah.
Well, is there anything before... I know your time is precious.
Very precious.
Yes. And is there anything uplifting you'd like to say? Before you go?
Here's the one, and this is a truly uplifting thing I will try to leave you with. If you do a successful tour, as soul-grinding as it is and as physically exhausting as it is, when you do a long tour and you come back to whatever your home city, especially L.A., your home city seems so manageable and tameable after being out there in this gigantic, crazy country. You come back to L.A. and you're like, I can get anything done here.
And successful is just defined by finishing it, right? Like not by not everything being, successful.
Oh, no. I mean, I almost wish it's like when I was a wedding DJ, we had this thing where...
Wait.
All right.
You're a wedding DJ?
When I was.
Oh, yeah. You were. Yeah.
Not now. Although there's some cards on if you want to grab them. But we had a thing where at a wedding, it was a sign of a successful marriage if one thing went wrong at the wedding. So a successful tour has got to have one night. It's like the Judas, basically.
Yeah,
one night where everything fucking goes wrong that you can then set everything else against.
Yeah, that's what I figure, but it could also be 8 nights, right?
Yeah.
There's no reason
but
for
then that.
If our bad night happens 2 nights in, that's bad.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But if you're guaranteed one good night with Austin, I'm telling you that right now.
All right.
You are.
Yeah, I've been to Austin. They seem like they're hipsters, they're good kids because they're hipsters in a state that doesn't even respect America.
No, they're hipster. The hipsters in Austin are like that compound in the Road Warrior of the hippies. You're like Mad Max pulling in with the gasoline.
Yeah.
You want Leonard Cohen references? You talk to me. Like it's that kind of. So
all right. Well, let's thank Patton Oswalt for coming by.
Thank you.
Drink so bad.
Is the booze calling you?
Well, yeah.
Bally high.
That was uh, That was what I wanted, I guess. He gave us real information.
Yeah, yeah. It's.
He didn't just say don't take a shit in the bus, you know.
I can't remind you of that enough. By the way,
that's good advice. I'm just saying I expected more of that. Like, you know, whenever you see a gas station, make sure you buy some pants. Well, why? Because you, this is something you can't know until you're on the road. You always need pants to make your antenna work. Or, you know, just some weird shit that like, you know. But he really put the scare on me.
Are you nervous now?
Yeah. But you know who else was nervous? Jesus Christ.
Uh-oh, that sounds like a rap.
And he turned out fine.
That sounds like a rap. This is rap number two called Freestyle.
Freestyle?
Yeah, Dan, we got to work out these raps.
Yo, freestyle. Yo, rapping for a while. Got a sober rap coming at your ass. I got Howard Hessman at the head of the class. Stock rhymes coming out all the time. Freestyle, got a sober style, got a freestyle, got a sober rap, it's going badly. Your mom's named Hadley. It's a name, you can look it up. I saw your mama, I got a drink. I gotta have a drink.
I never told you not to drink. I never told you not to drink. Are you gonna do it? Be strong, Dad, be strong.
It's like The Price is Right. And it's not fair if the people saying drink are louder because you're drunk.
How many, by cheering, how many of you out there wish he wouldn't drink to continue the experiment? Okay. Now, how many people want to see Dan drink?
That's a minority.
Less people, but drunker. And louder.
You know what else is a minority? Black people. Rap about race.
There we go.
Slow rap. Slow rap. Smooth, slow rap.
Sexy slow. Feel the beat. It's the first time you're hearing this. I feel the groove here, man.
Rapping about race. Rapping about race. Rapping about the complications with the color of your face. Some people got dark skin, some people got light. Some people purple, some people white. But we gotta come together in a big spaceship. We gotta come together in a big spaceship. Rap about race. I met an Indian man in China. He said my race couldn't look finer. He took my hand and accepted me. We went up to the top of a coconut tree. He said, why don't you hold my body? I said, I'll hold your body. He said, I want you to hold me. I said, hold me. Rap about race. Rap about race. It's a rap about race. It's a rap about race. I got a black friend. He's my shield, got a black friend. I can feel however I want when I'm standing next to my black friend. I'm not racist, but blah, blah, blah. I can say that shit because I got my black friend chilling it on the sideline. We go to get food. My black friend says, I think I'm in the mood for fried chicken, and it's not racist because he's black. What? Sorry. There's a downside. I'm always terrified when he speaks up.
The chicken's always fried.
Thank you, Auntie.
Auntie.
A nice slow rap about race.
Also, if by rap you mean you sang the entire thing.
All right, everyone's a critic.
I'm saying that was nice. That I think Eric Idle's advice, like, now you're singing. That was like a cool like Keith Sweat kind of R&B kind of thing going on.
All right, well, you know, let's keep the fever pitch rolling, right? There's only one thing that I really knew that I wanted to talk about, and it starts with the fact that my beautiful, perfect girlfriend, Erin McGathy.
For those of you who don't know, we always hate surprise parties. We've done them in the past. Surprise parties seem like a very strange thing to have to do to people because you the fact that the party exists is the surprise. So and then you spend the entire day tricking people into thinking that no one's doing anything for them, and then their surprise is oh you did, and it just seems like it causes a lot of misery. And but so we both agree. Like she was like, I'll never throw you a surprise party, but could I do this thing for you that would be a surprise at your party? Can the nature of your party be a surprise for you? Yes, of course, darling. She published a fucking book of all of my bullshit from the internet, most of which is filled with me either talking about jerking off to other women or dating them and breaking up with them and having my heart broken. She's scouring all that stuff and picking the good stuff from the bad stuff. And all of it is just me a big narcissistic rant. And, there are girlfriends that would, you know, justifiably go, I don't want to reward this. Like, he needs to come down a couple notches. But she's like, it's like that arm wrestling thing. You just go with the force, you know. That's like she's celebrating my ego. For my birthday, I walked into my living room, and she had gathered 60 of my finest friends, and they all did selected readings of this book that I didn't know I had written until that moment. And then they all had me sign it, and it was like this narcissist dream. It was
it's really amazing.
Perfect birthday party.
I read through it, and it's like when I saw it, it's like I've read most of it, like, you know, because I've known you a long time, and I've read, like, you know, emails or blog entries or things like that. It's really cool to go back and like this is like a chronology of your mania and your life. It's
right. Like, so So here's the weird side effect of it. So people are excited about it. There's Dan Harmon fans online. There's 900 copies of this thing. She's gonna sell them for during a limited time. I have to try to find this. Can someone in the audience that has a phone that I'll be able to read so that I'm not like trying to multitask, bring up the if you can find it. The Onion AV Club article that is about the book. Is that enough information to find it? Whoever's got it first, that can hand me their phone. Like bring it up. And I'm looking. So Aaron texted me. Oh, the Onion AV Club. They posted an article about the book. It's like getting, oh, wow, that's great. That's really great news. I went to look at it just to verify that that's the case. And then why do I always do this? Scroll down to the comment section. No! No! I thought that I was impervious. But this is brutal for me. But I also think like my definition of stuff that hurts is so different from other people's.
What ratio of
like 100%?
I felt like it was like to being praised.
That was the other thing. It felt like it was just like this unilateral fucking like fuck this guy. What is he? Why does he want me to buy his book? And
Sean has a phone for you, Dan.
All right. You could give yours to Jeff, and he could maybe pick a couple tasty ones.
Yeah.
So they do. I just want to like. All right. So
I'm scrolling down to the comment section. You mean?
Yeah. I just want to. I'm gonna stop at the ones that really, really hurt me.
Okay. Ooh, can I just...
Well, so the first one goes...
Can I start with one?
Okay, go ahead.
All proceeds will go toward getting Mr. Harmon a shower and a clean shirt.
That's not... That's a fan. The one underneath it. And an autographed, self-taken photo of Dan Harmon crying, lamenting why you couldn't just let him be great. That hurts.
Okay, I've gone through seven ones that were not so bad.
Let's see. Well, you know, then there's ones that are just like, I don't give a shit about the collected online writings of Dan Harmon. That's fine, but why type that? What do you do? Do you understand how the internet works? Like, why are you on this page? So that person says that, and then that serves as a route for a bunch of people to chime in replying to that person. This person who doesn't give a shit about my collected online writings. This person says, don't Ooh. Worry. Dan Harmon cares enough about the collective works of Dan Harmon. Enough for all of us. By all of us, I mean everyone who existed in the past, everyone currently alive, and everyone who will ever enter this mortal coil. By the way, that one hurts less after he says mortal coil.
Yeah, it's like,
nice try, self-styled Dan Harmon. Gee, I wonder where this is coming from.
Well, here's one that's all caps, and it just this one is pretty succinct. The collected online writings of Dan Harmon sucks.
Yeah, that doesn't. Yeah. Dan Harmon's next project will be a delightfully quirky sitcom about a delightfully quirky group of 6 to 8 delightfully quirky friends who hang out enacting delightfully quirky send-ups of various movies and TV shows while yelling at everyone within earshot that their vision is too beautiful and unique for this dark and savage world. So now our crime is wanting people to be happy? And by ours, I mean mine. But it's a, like I just, let's see.
Sorry, while you look, Dan, I got this note, this is good stuff. There is an orange scion blocking someone that needs to move right now behind the store. The end. An orange scion. This is a car that looks like a roller skate.
I'll probably stop with this one because this one is.
Kind Dan, of... may I share one?
Oh,
jeez,
Jesus Christ!
The ghost of Christmas presents. Adam Goldberg.
I'm Jewish. I don't get Christmas presents.
Did you just like materialize there?
Here for at least 53 seconds.
My angst floated off of me, and the cloud formed into. All right, what were you gonna?
A bunch of stuff. Sue's chef shares that maybe he's morphing into Scud, and Jim Trafficant responds, "Seriously, ... Those Orson Welles level bags in that drawing. Maybe he had Harmon sit for the drawing after a week long bender of shame, as comedy writers are prone to." Well, these guys are mean.
That doesn't
offend
me. That's just calling me a comedy writer and saying that I'm dedicated to my work.
But then someone says,
"That's why my best friend drew baggy eyes on me. He knew that I'd be flattered by it. I like being a fucking slob and a maniac. What I don't like is people implying that I think that they should like me. That's what gets me. That's the weird thing I wanted to talk about that I discovered when reading through this. Is like my soft spot is pretense. Like if you want to know how to really hurt me. It's like the idea that I think that I'm special because I don't, and I think it's because of my brother. I think it's growing up under my brother who was, who no longer listens to the podcast, hopefully. And if he does, fuck him because he got really mad about me telling stories about him that were
glad
pretty,
to help
pretty
with
benign.
That, by the way. He was
oh,
a dick.
Jesus Christ.
Look, people are mean to you on the internet because you're not me. If you go to Harmontown.com, which you should all do after the show, it's unanimous that I am the hero. Everyone's like, "I love Goldberg. He's scrappy, and Dan is me."
What the fuck is going on?
He's rounded the bend into Hamburglar territory. It's like he's embracing his role as our product spokesvillain. I want Harmontown. Rabble, rabble. Get away from there, Goldberg. Oh, I love it.
Harmontown is for humans, silly Goldberg.
It's like at a ski show. Like look out, Cindy. Goldberg's behind you.
I thought it was more like I dress up every week like Barney Rubble and try and steal the fruity pebbles of your self-respect.
Yes.
Precisely.
That's another example.
All right. I'm going to wrap it up.
Shut the fuck up, Adam. I don't care what you're holding. I don't care what's in your hand. I'm going to control you right now. You're either rapping or you're getting off the stage.
Give me beat number one.
All right.
Beat number one. Gonna wrap it up Goldberg style. Yeah, gonna take a while. Dan, thanks for the podcast. I've had a lot of fun with the people that I just chant rap about, and I'll say this.
Adam Goldberg, everybody, let's hear it for him. Wasn't he great?
I brought you a board
Wasn't
game.
He great? Oh, let's hear it for him. Guest department town, stay at the.
Yeah, and I brought Eric Idle.
Studio City Marriott.
Oh. I got a card for Eric Idle. I thought that'd be a good fit.
Right. Adam Goldberg's clothing by Dolce and Gabbana. One more time for Adam Goldberg, everybody.
All right. I just wanted to. I kind of got derailed.
You don't fucking say.
So now
is it just because Adam becoming more and more terrifying. Now I'm worried for my own safety.
Yeah,
the last thing I see before I die is going to be, I'm going to wake up and it's going to be him with a butcher knife.
Well, you just saw how easy it was. There was a
he just was a poof.
Yeah,
he was there.
There was an ending of a Law and Order where they went like toe to toe with this like really vicious prison gang, and they put the, you know, everyone was really intimidated by them, jurors and stuff like that, but they pursued the case and they won for justice. And then the epilogue of the Law and Order episode is they're on the streets of New York and the ADA is walking and getting a hot dog, and some guy in tattoos comes up next to her and goes, "Excuse me, are you so-and-so?" And she goes, "Yeah." And he goes, "You can tell your boss we were this close." And he walks away. Oh. And then it just leaves on her going, and that's, I kind of, Goldberg was that close. And yeah. I didn't know.
Yeah.
Like, there will be no warning. He'll be in your back seat.
Does he have the thing, like the little taxi driver gun thing?
I don't know. I feel like it would be more like an X-Files, like, biological weapon. Like, turn out that one of his hands is a lizard hand or something.
Do you think it's time to bring up Spencer?
Yes, I just wanted to read this one last thing, but now that it got all interrupted, it feels like, oh, then Dan spent this episode dwelling on comment sections. But I just wanted it to be one brief thing, but I wanted to close with this one. I don't know whether this one hurts or not, but it definitely affects me. Collected works, Herman sucks, blah, 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 that people are responding. And then a guy says, "Yeah, I've gone from loving him and community to hating him and loving community." That's really sad. All right. I don't know why. Now I read that out loud, it seems like that's what I wanted.
Well, you got it.
Yeah. It's not really what I wanted. I wanted to explore it because you guys are my therapist. That's all. I just wanted to say it out loud. And it kind of hit me in the solar plexus, like reading those comments. And I was texting Aaron about it. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? Why am I so affected by this? I'm so shielded in places where everybody usually kicks, you know, and then this weird shit like gets me. And it has something to do with, I think I had an epiphany in my car sorting through it. It has something to do with needing other people's approval, which is a de-doy. But I'm 40 years old. I am allowed to now become a dispenser of happiness. I can't expect to get it like fed to me like a baby bird anymore. You know, emotionally, it's, you know, you have to grow up a little bit. I can still be insecure and express my anxieties and stuff. But the people that write that shit, they don't expect my dumb fat ass to be like scrolling through it and then go. They wouldn't really want to have an impact on a human being. They're just screaming at the sky, "Notice me!" No one in particular. They're talking to themselves.
I disagree. I think they actually do think. I think not all of us.
Listen, Adam always does this shit. He hands you shit, and then like there's a plate of cookies last time. No, it's a gift. You gave me a board game.
I put a hazmat suit on. That's anthrax all the way.
Whose was this?
Over here. This is Sean's, right?
Oh, thank you, Sean. Oh, Sean. Sean his own built-in reminder. I had written it down, but I might have forgotten. Sean, thank you for your wonderful birthday gift. I'm assuming it was our New Year's gift. Maybe a Christmas gift. Podcast got pretty boring.
Well, you know, when
Dan started counting the number of ways something could be a gift, that's when I checked out, said the 380th person crammed in the back corner.
I'd say it's time to kick the show into overdrive. And you have other thoughts, apparently.
No. You mean Spencer Drive?
Yeah, Spencer
Drive.
Yeah,
let's do it. Let's.
Anybody know a guy named Spencer as our dungeon master? Spencer, you have a new musical theme.
Is that what this is?
This is the new Spencer theme.
Oh, we have our own legally clearable. Yeah,
this is called Spencer Intro. All right, Spencer's our dungeon master. Those of you just tuning in, we love and adore him. We found him out of our own audience, and Spencer is going to take off. It occurs to me, Spencer, I know nothing about you. Are you going to leave a job behind as you come on tour with us?
Yeah, I work at an Apple store near my house, and I work in the back. I count boxes. It's fun.
So you got a furlough. You get to come on leave with Harmontown. He's going to be on the tour bus with us, dungeon mastering every dungeon that we try to enter. Did any of that Patton Oswalt horror stories in Phoenix, did that worry you at all, Spencer? Do you feel a...
I don't want to die in a jackknife.
Yeah, that's always my thing, is that... yeah. I just... Big tour bus accident, that's pretty ignominious. That's no good. All right,
I leveled up, you guys. I got new gadgets and stuff. Bear with me.
Our dungeon master leveled up.
So you got a new iPad. Did you find that in the back room of the store, Spencer?
Yeah, I mean, well, we just, sometimes we count less.
Did you guys write that?
Oh, yeah. Spencer and I hang out all the time. Write bits.
We were riding bikes the other day.
So, Spencer, I hear you... Spencer, I hear something funny happened at Trader Joe's yesterday.
Oh, yeah. You know me. And traders.
That one needs work. We got to work on that one.
They're workshopping that one. Speaking of workshops, we should bring up an improviser to help us play Dungeons & Dragons.
We decided that the Cavalcade of Stars wasn't quite complete yet. We're going to bring up somebody who's never played D&D before, who's going to fill in, and maybe in some guest star role that Spencer has created. This person knows nothing of D&D, has never ever played it, but maybe you know him. Television's Ryan Stiles.
I have to sit down because I've had so much of this sweet, sweet liquor tea. I think that's very nice. You quit drinking because of your girlfriend?
Sweet. Yeah.
So sweet. I give it a month. It's very odd that you stopped drinking because of her, and yet I'm backstage doing lines off her tits. That's really weird. That's so weird. It's better you don't know. I think they were her tits. Hi, how are you?
You think they were her tits.
Hey, are you, are you, I hope so.
Go on, Ryan.
Otherwise, they're two perfectly formed moles together. I'm good. Are you going on tour with Jeff? Have you toured with Jeff before?
No.
See, I've toured with Jeff for a number of years.
Oh, do you have any...
Are you on a bus?
Yes.
You're in for 2 or 3 hours a day of retarded Elvis. Jeff, do a little retarded Elvis for us.
I have a couple stock characters.
Do a little retarded Elvis for us today.
It's just a retarded...
No, more. Do more, though. Do more of it.
Three hours. Dan, the thing is,
I'm in a bunk in the bed. He'll open the curtain and start doing it.
Are you lonesome?
Yes, Jeff, I'm lonesome tonight, yes.
The thing is, retarded Elvis isn't funny for the first hour.
No, you have to keep it
Second
up.
Second hour, great.
Yeah.
Third hour, it goes into a bit of a trough.
Yeah. But it's going to be fun for you. Is your girlfriend staying here, or is she going with you?
She's coming with Ryan.
She is? So you're not drinking the entire tour, then?
Oh, I thought you were asking because you wanted to do more coke offers.
No. No, I'm moving on.
No, she's not sober. We're just cleansing for 4 days.
That's
we're gonna,
great.
We're gonna.
What was the green stuff you were drinking backstage?
It was kale, celery,
That's
spinach,
fantastic.
Cucumber.
This is a vodka and cranberry.
Is there a cup back there, anybody?
More kale for Dan, please.
No.
More kale.
No, you just flung a craven on me. I'm gonna have some vodka too.
Ask for vodka as retarded Elvis, please. Would you?
Oh, I got vodka.
That's fantastic. Four hours.
The thing about tour. I should ask Patton this. The thing about tour bus comedy is that after a while, the level of comedy goes just lower and lower and lower, and then it becomes almost a challenge. Who can do the basest comedy?
Yeah.
Who can be the most adolescent? Like, it's like a game of chicken with you know.
I'm doing 2 and a Half Men with Patton this week.
Oh yeah.
Not very funny.
Surprising, because he stole the
He's
show.
He's gone.
Up here.
That's why I said that.
Yeah.
What's his character?
I was gonna. If he didn't leave, I have it on my iPhone. I have the script. I was get us to do the scene from.
They're doing 2 and a Half Men together, and we're
not together. I'm never aware anybody else is there, really.
Oh, really? We were gonna do a run
since
through
Charlie
of
the
scene.
Left. You know, it's not.
How's the show? Is it funny now with Aston? Is it good?
I shouldn't have had this much to drink.
You're having so much
there,
fun.
There goes my medical.
So I have to leave at some point, like right in the middle of or toward like the latter, like 2/3 of the tour. I leave Harmontown to go do shows with you and Greg.
Yeah, it's a little scary to have Jeff on the road. We were in some small town in Canada, and I think it was a bikini bronco riding that night.
It was bikini bull riding.
And he walked in a suit.
It was Kamloops, British Columbia, and it was a marquee out in front of a place called Cactus Jack's, and it boasted of
Jeff always thinks he's in L.A.
bikini bull riding, and I walked in. I said, "I'm going to go in there," and someone that lived there was like, "No, you don't want to go to Cactus Jack's. It's pretty.
You're wearing the only suit in town."
So I came in and I walked in a suit, and there was a bar that had a metal detector, and there was a bin like the little trays that you get at the airport, and in the tray were shivs. There were screwdrivers and like homemade knives, like
some people have a weekend leave.
But the beauty was, like, we'll take your sharpened screwdriver and we'll duct tape for the handle, and we'll leave it here. You get it when you get out. When you leave, you can get your shiv back.
How long have you been dating this girl?
A year, really.
So it's new.
Right,
it's
on
all
the
new.
Right, on the nugget.
Everything's still exciting.
Our first kiss was Christmas Day.
Wow. Jesus's birthday. You had. That's great.
And then I started.
Okay, so it's still exciting and everything. How old is she and how old are you? I'm just curious.
she just turned 28 and I just turned 40.
Wow, that's interesting. You're 40 now? Really? You're 40 to look 40?
Yeah.
You still look at your penis in the mirror? I don't do that anymore.
I don't know. I try to...
I don't. I stopped doing that at some point. It's like my high school yearbook. I know I have one. I just never ever look at it.
I look at my body naked all the time.
Do you really?
Yeah, but my penis is like it's just like another nipple down there. It doesn't. Some people are growers and some people are showers. I'm a retractor. I'm like Mars exploration equipment. It's just like you just look down there.
You know what helps? You know what helps me? Yeah. Golden Girls reruns.
Yeah. all right, so do we...
Ryan, you have never... Do you know anything about D&D at all?
No, I have a life.
Don't worry.
He's right, don't boo him.
Yeah. He knows what I'm talking about.
Ryan, you might be beloved outside of NerdMelt, but in here, Spencer is kind of a golden god. So.
I don't care.
All right, Spencer, if you would...
How does this work? I have no idea.
Spencer right now will give you a little intro to bring us Dan and I.
Is it important I know about this game? Am I going to fuck this up? Or do I need to know specifics?
Have you ever done bad improv before? Yeah, it's just like that. It's just like that.
It's all I do.
All right. Spencer,
I work with Drew Carey. No way to avoid it. All right, Spencer. What, is he here? Fuck off. He's not here.
Hey, Ryan, remember when Drew used to be 2.5 men?
Yes, I do. I remember that.
So when we last met, our heroes had just defeated Lord Butzalot, who attacked the adventurers in a fit of rage. After Lord Mango had fallen, his barbarian tribesmen came out of hiding. They thanked Sharpie for quelling Lord Butzalot's wrath, then woke up the barbaric paterfamilias. Mango came to in a confused daze, first ornery and eager to fight.
Mango's his dad.
But then, more understanding and apologetic of his prior behavior. Revealing his true intentions, the Warchief explained the powerful effects of the magical fragments of power and their role in the formation of the multiverse. In a fit of madness, the great lord snatched up his red stone and swallowed it in one single, confusing gulp. This odd gesture can't help but remind you of Admiral Darkstar, that black-garbed, awkward fellow from the ziggurat, that evil malevolence who swore to steal and destroy your planet with the power of the fragments. Just then, the party heard the unmistakable sound of an approaching horse-drawn cavern.
All right. I need my character sheet.
Yeah, dispense the character sheets if you would.
Oh, shit, I'm sorry, I thought we were starting. I wasted that horse.
Tonight, the role of the horse will be played by Ryan Stiles.
That was a three-legged horse, by the way, I don't know if you...
Dan, did you get mine?
Yes, okay. Just sorting them out.
Don't mix them up.
Ryan, my name is Quark, and he's Sharpie.
All right.
He's a human magic user. I'm a gnome barbarian.
Notice you guys get papers.
You
and
have this
shit.
One here.
The fuck, this is an improv? The fuck is this?
I've had this thing for 4 months. I have no idea what's going on.
Fantasy football here or something.
I always kind of stare at it, and I never, like, the information never makes it all the way into my brain because there's other things going on.
All right, so Spencer, what are our surroundings right now?
You're in the wreckage of that Knoll camp that where you fought Lord Lord Butzalot.
And is he
Lord Butzalot's still with you. He's still with the barbarians. You guys were just having a nice chat. He ate one of those things, and you guys were like, what?
All right, so he's got one. He ate one of the fragments.
Yeah. Right.
And what was the advice? We had some people from the audience help us out. There was advice about that one fragment that he'd eaten, right?
Somebody said cast detect magic, and then we
you do this every week?
Yeah.
And it carries on? It's like a series?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We killed a giant piggy bank.
A cube of Jell-O.
A cube of Jell-O, yeah.
You guys should get cable.
We detected some shards in his stomach, and then that was a big revelation.
So we have some of the shards, right?
You have 2 shards, yes.
And my dad ate one and walked away.
Uh-huh. And now you're hearing an approaching wagon.
All right. So I look at what the wagon is.
You look to the
Although
north.
I have my guesses. I think it's a wagon.
You're not sure why a caravan would come here of all places, the ruins of a newly destroyed Knoll encampment. You hear the gruff, gravelly voice from inside a cart call out, "Welcome to Olooff's Wonder Wagon." The cart screeches to a halt about 15 feet away from you. And its wooden panels collapse outwards, revealing an equally questionable decorated storefront. You see food, crafts, supplies, materials, leather goods, tools, clothing, weapons, jewels, and all manner of assorted knickknacks and curios. Hmm. And before you stands, presumably, Olooff, a halfling with a large turban and an orange mustache. That's you.
Oh.
All right, so you're playing a shopkeeper. Here's your thing. I wrote a list of things you sell on the back, but you can also sell other things.
Oh, okay. All right.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day. Tell me what you seek. I have a long list.
Well, we are adventurers, and our satchels are filled with treasures and gold.
Ah, then you need nothing from me. Your satchels are full.
Do you have any cigarettes?
Cigarettes? Let me check. No, but I do have a healing pendant and a portable hole.
Yes, yes.
The portable hole is $40, same as downtown.
Well, I'm kind of at a loss. I'm not really in a shopping mood, but...
Spencer, is there anything in our inventory that we lack that this shopkeeper might give us?
Well, that depends on what you want, you know? Mm. Just... If you have anything weird, you could ask them about it. You could ask questions.
A shopkeeper, what do you give the gnome barbarian that has everything?
Might I say that bull strength is on sale this week?
How much is the bull strength?
3 for $49.
3 for $49? I can get 2 for $50 downtown.
Oh, that's bull. I'm selling bull strength.
What does the...
Oh, I do have smoke sticks. Did you come seeking cigarettes?
I love cigarettes.
I have smoke sticks. I think they're similar.
Okay. Do you have menthol?
I don't, but I could give you some ice. I'd suck on some ice and then have a...
Spencer, what do smoke sticks do?
Smoke sticks release an acrid smoke that creates a smoke screen for a short period of time, obscuring vision.
Cigarettes. Yet you may not take them to the land of Calabasas.
I'll take a carton of smoke sticks.
A carton of smoke sticks for you. And with that, I throw in a free illusion.
A free illusion?
A free illusion.
What does that mean, Spencer?
I won't know until it happens. Tell me what you see.
Wait. It's not like Dove from Lit Candle? Is it one of those kind of crappy things?
You've been here before.
Wait. That was your portable hole?
Yes, of course.
What's a portable hole?
Same as downtown, $40.
I want to show Olaf the shards, if you know what I mean, and see if he's heard any tell of their origins or any rumors about them. Take a look at these magic shards, Olaf.
Oh, the magic shards. You bring these to me?
Well, I'm not giving them to you. I'm showing them to you.
What are they shards of?
Something, some force of power. I don't really know.
What are the shards of, Spencer?
The shards. Olaf doesn't know much about the shards, but he knows their value is beyond compare. He would offer to buy them, although he knows there's no price that you'd willingly take for such a valuable artifact.
I will buy those from you. Name your price.
I don't think there's any price for which we'd part with them.
But there has to be a reason that this man has come across our path. I believe that everything is fated to be, Sharpie.
Jesus. All right.
I mean.
All right. Well, I mean, I
mean, come up with a price. You're going to get caught with a shitload of shards that you can't get rid of.
Spencer, how many shards do we need to have a full set?
You don't know. There's no way of knowing.
We have two, and Sharpie's dad, Mango, has one in his stomach right now.
Yeah, and a few, I think.
Can we follow Mango around until he poops and go through it and find one of them?
You could potentially do that. He's standing in the foreground.
Oh.
Hi.
Okay, you're going to need a portable hole for that.
What's the portable hole?
Portable holes are these fabric circles. So like if you took this and cut it into a circle, like a circle of fabric, you throw it on the ground and it becomes a real hole, like a 10-foot pit or something.
That you could hide in?
Yeah, and then you could pick it up. So you could, you know, drop your friend down there and pick it up and take him and put him in a wall and he'll like fall.
And how tall is Olaf?
Olaf would be about four feet tall.
I thought Olaf was big.
Olaf is a halfling. Halflings are very small.
So two halflings is worth...
Depends on where your exchange rate is.
Two men and a halfling.
How much for the portable hole? Is it really 50, the 50, what, gold pieces? What is it?
$40, same as downtown. Yet I will take one shard of glass for your whole portable hole.
I don't want to part with the shards.
We got to hang on to the shards, man.
What are so important about these shards?
We don't know.
And yet you want to hang on to them.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean...
Why do you want them so bad?
I haven't any in my wagon. What if someone else were to ask me for a shard and I had no shards? And yet I have an overstock of portable holes.
Should we take this guy Olaf? He has this great inventory of stuff. Should we take him along with us down the road in case we need something? Or is there something, Spencer, that we need to get off of Olaf here?
Well, I mean, I can't tell you. I'm just like a disembodied voice that describes things around you. However, I will say...
Like a wife.
I wish. I will say that you hear an off-kilter sound. It seems like it's coming from the west. It sounds like vicious clacking or maybe slithering. You don't even know what.
I summon a squirrel.
You summon a squirrel.
Squirrel, run off and... Investigate that sound. Ryan, I get to summon small animals once a day.
There's only one way to summon a squirrel, and you know the song, Jeff. The squirrel song.
Squirrel, squirrel, squirrel. Climbing trees, spreading disease.
Squirrel, squirrel, squirrels.
Hiding nuts and fuzzy butts. Ryan and I have been on the road a long time.
You're going to get that.
Wait,
up too.
Olaf. Olaf, do I smell gravy over there? Olaf, do I smell gravy?
Of course you do. That's from the gravy pillow. It's an invention of mine.
Isn't there a song about that?
It's soft. I don't believe so. Gravy.
No, I forget it.
I, I, Well, we heard this sound from the west, so let's wait.
Oh, yeah, so I sent the squirrel off to go investigate the sound.
You send the squirrel off. You wait for what seems like enough time, but the squirrel... But the squirrel does not return.
The squirrel does not return?
It does not return.
Where's my dad? Is he still visible?
He's hey guys.
I'm gonna go talk to my dad.
Hey son, does that guy have good deals?
Dad, eat shards much?
Yeah.
I don't understand. Like, talk to me about that.
Listen.
Alarming.
You need to internalize the power before you can have mastery over it. That's just, you know, gravity.
Chirpy.
Barbarians aren't well knowledged.
Should we each eat a shard?
Sounds like it.
We can eat half of one now, and if we're feeling it later.
I think you're supposed to wait like 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, have some orange juice.
Yeah, does Olaf have orange juice? I can't. I was in a blackout drunk when we played, and it was a month ago. But did I think that eating a shard was a good idea?
No, I don't think you did.
Okay, all right. Yeah, because my dad just doesn't understand magic.
No, he's.
He's well, like,
look,
he's,
look, barbarians don't know stuff.
Like father, like son. I would say maybe you eat it. Or you say it's a bad idea.
It's something a dumb person does with a shard. It's bush league. So I
gotta say, I feel like I really wasted that squirrel.
You did.
The squirrel will come back, Jeff.
Okay. I'm gonna summon my. He's on my arm. Avenger, my hawk, who I forgot for several months.
Avenger gives out a weak cry as if it hasn't been fed in several months.
Avenger, go get the squirrel.
Avenger flies off your arm and circles the sky far away. It returns.
Avenger, what see you?
It gives you a look that says, I didn't see a squirrel, but there's something coming.
Go on.
I'd be able to describe it better if I weren't just a level 3 familiar.
Mm.
I'm not smart.
Don't sell yourself short.
Let me tell you something. It seemed to shift and change position as it approached, as if I couldn't quite make out where it was.
Well, see, that's important information. You're a good hawk.
You know what? Sharpie, I got a feeling. You already bought the portable hole, right?
No, because he's only selling it for a shard.
You won't give up one shard for the hole.
He said it was $40, and then he said it was a shard. I'm not giving up a shard for a hole.
I'll give you 3 gold pieces for a portable hole.
All right.
All right, so I got smoke sticks and a portable hole now in my inventory, correct?
Let's buy 2 of them and put 1 in the other.
I'm not selling 2.
You'll be all Dan Harmon about it. The portable hole about 6 quirky characters.
Olaf, is there anything else in your wares that we might be interested in?
Oh, not me. I have so much stuff. I have quail's feathers and bag of tricks. Elf boots. Did I mention the portable hole?
What's a portable hole?
I have everything you could possibly want. Bull strength, I mentioned that.
Dad, what's coming from the west?
I can cure moderate wounds. Not severe wounds, but moderate wounds.
I've already got that.
You have?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm not up in the game.
I asked my dad what's happening to the west.
He motions a figure towards you and then puts his ear to the ground. Then what? Soon, he raises his head from the ground and growls something you haven't heard in quite a while. Displacer beasts.
Displacer beast!
Displacer beast?
Oh, yes, displacer beasts, those fearsome creatures. You see, you can't determine where they truly are, only where you think they may be. For their shifting appearance can move them around almost randomly, as if by some powerful illusion.
Let's get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, Olaf, how would you like the head east in your wagon? We we head east. Bye, Dad! Displacer beasts! Out of our league!
He says, I always knew you were a quitter, but don't be, you know, down on yourself, because you'll always be that way. Bye. He fucks off to the west.
Wait, he fucks off to the west?
He does.
We officially have the title of this podcast.
Was that your dad that just left?
Yeah, that's his dad.
Very sad.
Yeah. They have a weird relationship. Your dad just fucked off to the west. But that's in the direction of the displacer beast.
Yeah,
right?
He's going to fight him.
Yeah, we should go with him. It's your dad, Sharpie.
Olaf, can you turn the wagon around?
Turn the wagon around?
He used to hit me with a belt.
Let me check to see if I have one of those. I have no belt to hit you with.
I don't want to get hit anymore. I want his approval. That's what happens when you hit a kid. He thinks it's his fault and he's forever unfillable, you know? Like a portable hole. I would think you would understand, holemonger. Does that term offend you?
No, holes are just a small part of my stock.
Are we headed west now?
Let's all go west and follow your father and join him in battle, you know?
You want a ride from me?
Yeah.
All right. Hop on front. I could use a little nap. Why don't you drive?
All right. Spurred on by my hatred and love of my father, I take it out on the team of horses. Shit rolls downhill. Yeah!
The cycle of abuse continues.
The what does?
The cycle of abuse.
did he roll the die before he said that? 17.
That's a strong abuse right there.
I grab the reins and is it a goat? What's this cart being led
this
by?
There's one goat and one horse.
One goat and one horse. I whip them on and we catch up to Sharpie or to Mango rather.
You catch up to Mango. You seem to be confused. No, I don't. That's stupid. You arrive on the scene. You see Mango lying on the floor in a pool of blood. He's surrounded by four displacer beasts.
Dad!
He's unresponsive.
Ray of Frost! It's not even my most powerful spell. It's just my trademark, you know?
You hit the displacer beast. He takes, I'm sorry, you guys. He takes 2 damage.
God damn it, I suck.
Olaf, how much for the bull strength?
I'm still sleeping.
I wake Olaf.
You wake Olaf.
Olaf, how much for strength of bull?
Again, one shard.
One shard? You with the shards.
I want a shard. I haven't got a shard.
Can I spare a shard, Spencer, or is that a bad idea?
I'm not going to give you advice there.
No.
You can do what you want, man.
Okay, I go into a berserker rage and what's my name? A flaming sword?
Yeah, you have a flaming sword.
Okay, I do a flaming sword attack on the displacer beasts.
Do you do a rage first?
Yeah, I go into rage and I rage.
Flying into a rage and unsheathing your sword. You fling yourself at the wild displacer beast. You seem to strike a hit, but the displacer beast at the last second is thin air.
Shit.
He's 5 foot to the left of where you thought he was.
Where's the squirrel?
Olaf, my father needs healing. He's a formidable fighter. If he's healed, he'll be able to help us good.
Ah, I have a healing pendant. Right here.
How much is it?
It's a shard. You know how much it is. Don't ask me anymore. My entire wagon is yours for a
Olaf,
shard.
Olaf, don't you see? If you don't help us right now, these displacer beasts could kill all of us. We need to work together as a team right now.
I don't think the beast is after me, is it?
It might very well be.
Let's talk.
Let me know when I can cast a spell.
Okay. The displacer beasts whip their dangerous shoulder-mounted tentacles towards you. They have tentacles. They're coming out of their shoulders. If you were on my Tumblr, you guys would know this by now.
I am. It's the thing. It looks like Slammer, but it's got tentacles, right?
Yeah.
It's Slammer with tentacles. It looks like Slammer with tentacles.
Oh wait, that's a Roper. That's different.
Displacer beasts look like felines,
panthers,
right?
With tentacles out of their
shoulders. I remember
shoulders.
Those from 8th grade and 12th grade. Where was I? Prom.
The displacer beasts pounce. Three of them don't hit you somehow. The fourth rakes you with a tentacle quark.
Oh, me?
Yeah, you.
Okay.
You attacked at one.
All right.
It does 8 damage to you.
Uh-oh, is that bad?
That's not great.
Wait, don't I have a heal moderate wounds?
I don't
think. No, because you didn't deal for it. I have one.
No, I thought I did, no?
No, you didn't give
I
me
really
a shot.
Ryan, shut the fuck up.
It'd be in your inventory.
Yeah, I'm looking for it. I thought I had.
I don't think you do, man.
Okay.
I mean, if you do, it's fine.
But Olaf has.
That's true.
I'm not giving you one after the way you just spoke to me.
You want to smoke a smoke stick?
I'll give you a shard. I'll give you a healing. What was it? A healing pendant for free.
For free?
Yes, for free.
That's very nice of you. I take the healing pendant.
You take the healing pendant.
And I put it on.
You put it on. It feels like it'll heal you.
Does it work?
You wait for it. It's booting up.
Okay.
No, okay, hold up.
Takes a while?
Yeah, it does.
You need to put on these elf boots as well.
You gain back 8 health. You're at full health.
I'm at full health.
The elf boots.
Now you can cast the spell. It's your turn.
Summon Monster 2.
All right. Give me one second. Summon Monster 2. You can pick a monster from which to summon. Let's see. Celestial Giant Bee. Celestial Giant Bombardier Beetle. Celestial Riding Dog. Celestial Eagle. Lemur. That's a devil. Fiendish Squid. Fiendish Wolf. Fiendish Monstrous Centipede. Fiendish Monstrous Spider. Fiendish Monstrous Scorpion. Fiendish Shark. Fiendish Snake.
I say
Squid!
Squids are...
Fiendish Squid!
I'm gonna go with the bee. Hey, fuck you guys. Just wanted to watch a squid die. That's all you wanted to. Like, this is my life.
It would have been cool.
Yeah, you can eat it.
You summon a celestial bee. It glows with the presence of the other world. It awaits your command.
Harold! Make honey of those displacer beasts. It's bee talk. I mean attack them.
Oh, okay. That's what it says. It goes and attacks one of the displacer beasts. It stings it wickedly with its sting. It hits, but does it really? The displacer beast is struck by the sting. It deals 6 damage.
It's in the way that you use
Spencer,
it.
Spencer, can I attack Flaming Sword on one of the others?
Yeah, you can attack.
Okay, Flaming Sword attack!
On the different one?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, you hit. It does 2 damage.
God damn it.
Oh, I didn't do fire damage. It does 6 damage.
Why don't you know?
Olaf has a gun.
What the fuck is going on here?
Olaf! Wait, Olaf.
What?
Are you holding a gun?
I don't know. Am I? I guess. Throw a dice.
What?
You have a gun.
Why does he have a gun?
Why are you sitting there like an asshole? I don't know if you're keeping score, but we got our asses kicked back there, man.
I didn't see guns seem too normal. I guess I have a gun. Yeah.
Use a gun.
Can I use a gun?
You do. You have a shoot gun from an alternate plane. A shoot gun.
A shoot gun.
Well, all guns are shoot guns.
Yes, of course they are.
You gotta be childish about it. It's like a poop toilet.
It is like a poop toilet. You'll find one of those later.
Should we let Olaf use the gun or should we take it from him?
You can try either.
Olaf?
Yes?
I like your style.
I'm fond of you as well.
Take that gun out and try your luck with the displacer beasts.
The slimy squid-like thing?
The panther tentacles.
Whatever.
Where's the best place to shoot it?
Right between the tentacles.
Between the tentacles. So the head?
No.
Bang! Oh. Right between the tentacles.
Oh, wait.
It hits!
Yeah! It's just a parachute comes out.
It deals 13 damage.
Oh!
I killed that motherfucker!
One of the beasts is slain.
D and damn!
Dungeon snap! That's a throwback.
How many more beasts are alive?
Two.
One's already hurt, right?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm out of bullets for my shoot gun.
Is that true?
It'll take him one turn to reload.
Yeah, because it's not called shoots gun.
What does my mysterious emerald dagger do?
You don't even know, man. It's so mysterious.
I can't wait to find out. Sharpie, you're up.
Scroll of... Oh, no, wait.
I have a bomb.
You have a bomb.
I am so sorry, guys. I forgot I have a bomb.
A bomb?
A bomb?
Yes, right here.
A bomb?
I think a bomb.
I think you had a bomb.
Bone. No. I have a bomb.
What kind of bomb is it?
It's a plus six.
A plus six.
I guess.
Doesn't your character wear a turban? Isn't this getting a little...
Oh, I didn't even realize. I'm sorry, you guys. That's Freudian.
But are you George Lucas?
I can throw it 40 feet, apparently.
He has red hair, though.
How far away are the...
I don't have red hair. I have a red mustache. Get your shit straight.
How far away are the displacer beasts?
They're about... No, they're right up to you. They're hitting you.
So it's within 40 feet.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
I can use my bomb.
Yeah, but the bomb will go right over him.
Oh, and you know what? I didn't see this. It sometimes blasts multiple enemies. Oh,
throw the bomb!
I could throw it for a shard.
If I give you a shard, will you throw the bomb?
Yes.
I give Olaf a shard.
You give Olaf the shard.
I'm going to kill
him. Why is everyone against that? Yay! I just want one fucking shard.
I'll give you a shard if you promise to throw the bomb and kill these beasts.
I will. Is there more than one beast?
There's two beasts left.
And will a bomb take care of them?
You they'll hurt. It'll hurt.
It'll hurt?
Yeah.
I don't want to waste my bomb.
You have multiple bombs, I should say.
No, I don't think so. Not according to this.
I left the S out.
Oh, bombs. You did?
Bombs.
Oh, are you sure it's just not one enemy then?
No.
Maybe you misplaced your S.
Oh.
Burning hands!
You cast burning hands. What level are you guys at? It does 6 damage, fire damage.
So how close are these guys to being dead?
You don't know. They look burnt.
Don't give them your shard, man.
I'm not gonna give them the shard. They're not giants, are they? They're not goblins. I've already gone into a rage, haven't I?
Yeah.
What about power attack?
You could power attack. That makes your attack less accurate and more dangerous.
You know what? I'm going to take out the mysterious emerald dagger and see what that thing does.
You unsheath the mysterious emerald dagger.
Would you like to wear my chain shirt? I just noticed I have a chain shirt. Would you like that?
It would go nice with the elf boots, too. I put on the chain shirt and the elf boots and take out my emerald dagger.
You do those things.
As it was written.
So it shall be.
In the middle of a fight, it's like a Katy Perry concert.
Oh yeah, speaking of which. Oh, you get struck with a tentacle, Sharpie.
Oh.
You take 11 damage.
Oh snap. Yeah, he's writing it down with a big smile on his face.
Yeah, that hurt. That hurt.
He has healed moderate wounds still.
That's true.
Scorching Ray?
Scorching Ray!
It's the first time I've used it.
Okay.
Waving your hands in a magical manner. You loose several bolts of scorching rays. You guys, I'm terrible. You strike the displacer beast right in the face with a scorching ray. It deals... I can't count. 12 fire damage.
Ooh.
He's on the ropes.
Mysterious Emerald Dagger!
Plunging the mysterious Emerald Dagger into the heart of the displacer beast, it glows with a green bright light. You see it shatter into pieces, and next to it, the real displacer beast emerges.
Oh!
It can no longer use its ability.
Ah.
That can't is count? Can't count?
What? Yeah.
Does Olaf have any more bullets in his shoot gun?
He does.
I do?
Yeah.
Shoot, Olaf, shoot!
I've been waiting to see where... You mean my +9 attack bonus? Is that what that means?
That's your attack roll.
So I have 8 more shots?
No, okay. You just have infinite ammo.
What?
You have ammo.
Yeah, but it says I can sometimes blast multiple enemies.
Yeah, that's the bomb.
Oh, that's my shoot
gun. That's the shoot gun. My mistake. Okay, yeah. Do you want to shoot it against multiple enemies?
I'm so confused.
Sometimes?
I just want to get the fuck out of my wagon. This is not my problem. These guys came up to me. I got my shard. That's all I wanted. I don't know what the fuck I want to do. I'm so confused. There's so many numbers, and you can't count. To 12.
Use your shoot gun against multiple enemies.
Okay. I'm using my shoot gun. Shoot gun!
Shoot gun!
Oh, shoot gun!
Shoot gun! The shotgun blast fires through one of the displacer beasts, but it was really somewhere else. It strikes
classic.
Into the deactivated displacer beast, dealing 7 damage. The displacer beast falls slain.
Ah!
Are we done?
There's one left.
One God
more.
Damn
one
these
more.
Things.
I used to...
Sorry, you guys.
It's like whack-a-mole.
When did my shoot gun turn into a shotgun?
It shotgun shoots.
Can we throw our little portable hole and trap it in the hole?
You could try that.
Who's got the portable hole?
But it's only 4 feet deep, isn't it?
That's no. It's like 10. No, you're
you
4
said,
feet.
No, you.
I said you're 4 feet.
It's 10 feet.
Tall.
How tall are the beast?
They're probably about 3 foot at the shoulder.
That comes in handy, doesn't it? So I'm taller than this beast?
By about a foot. You're not as long as it, though.
It's a 3 foot beast.
It's 3 feet tall.
It's like a panther. It's like a big panther.
Lion, take your head off, man.
It's a panther. It's a Would speak with animals work with a displacer beast?
You could try.
I speak to the displacer beast.
What do you speak to?
What do you think it's going to say?
Well, watch this. Hey, you're kind of being a dick.
You killed my parents just now. It flails at you with a tentacle, but misses.
Okay. Wow. That could have gone worse.
Summon swarm!
You summon a swarm. It can be of bees or bats.
Squids.
Bees! I love bees!
Or spiders. Okay. You summon a swarm of bees! A swarm of bees now exists.
Swarm!
All right, you swarm the final displacer beast. It seems to be annoyed and stung, but it doesn't seem to be taking very much damage.
Shit.
It is rather distracted and bothered. It seems to no longer regard you over the pain of its stings.
I loosen the mayo lid. Somebody pop it open.
I throw knives.
You throw knives. How many? Well, just one. You throw just one knife.
Right.
You strike the displacer beast. It teleports away. You don't. You can still speak with animals, though.
Oh, look, I'm sorry about the you're being a dick thing, and sorry about your parents. Why don't we smoke some of these smoke sticks? And I throw some smoke sticks around it.
It regards the smoke sticks. They emit a plume of smoke around the displacer beast. You can no longer see it.
Way to go, Jeff.
It's like going up to Osama bin Laden and just putting body armor on him.
Can we get the Fellowship of the Nerds back up here to help us out?
I have invisibility.
Invisibility?
Yes.
Okay.
How does that help?
You could not get attacked.
See ya. Good luck. Could I put that on my wagon and my goat and my horse as well?
No, it's a potion. You just drink it and turn it
into... Spencer, what is weapon-focused sword?
It means you're slightly better than the average person with a sword.
But I've already used my sword, haven't I?
Well, you can use it more. Oh, it doesn't get used up.
Is it my turn?
Sure, yeah.
All right, I attack with my sword. Sword attack.
Sword attack! You roll a critical hit. Sorry, you guys. I can't do math. I'm terrible at everything.
That's the one you just threw.
Thank you. Thanks, Ryan.
That's why you're not at the genius bar.
15 damage. Yeah, no, I'm not. This is true. I count boxes. 15 damage.
But he's still alive.
Is he?
I don't know.
I'm building tension.
I examined the wounded.
He doesn't appear slain, but now he is. Whoa! You broke the tension too early,
Just
Jeff.
To make sure. I throw my climbing kit.
Into the air like a graduate?
Yes.
Pitons and ropes spill everywhere.
Hooray!
Or pitons.
We freeze frame credits roll on this segment.
All right, is there any treasure to be had from these slain beasts?
No treasure.
They were just blocking our way somewhere?
They were going to murder you guys.
So now
My dad!
I have a shard.
Huh?
I have a shard now.
Oh.
And you have a portable hole.
No, I was joking about the shard thing.
You didn't give them a shard.
Huh?
You didn't give me the shard?
You never gave me the portable hole.
Do I have anything left in my shoot gun?
You do.
Let's have the shard, motherfucker.
Uncanny dodge.
Uncanny dodge.
I dodge his bullets.
That's not even in
he
there. Uncanny dodge?
Yeah. The all new 2013 Uncanny Dodge.
It's not your father's Uncanny Dodge.
I cast Charm Person on Olaf.
Oh, it works. Well, let me give him a will save. Sorry. Yeah, it works.
Let's have that stick, pal.
You now regard him as a trusted friend and ally. You do very much to please him.
Oh.
Not that.
And heal my dad, whatever it takes, please.
Well, how about another healing pendant? I have one left.
You're still wearing that healing pendant, Jeff.
Oh, I give the healing pendant from me to Sharpie.
He receives it.
I give it to my dad.
He cannot receive it, for he is unconscious.
I take it and get the hell out.
You're charmed. You don't want to do that.
Oh, I'm not. No.
Yeah, I can put it on my dad, right?
Yeah, no, but you can't give
but
it to him.
But he's dead.
Like, well, I give it to him the way you give a fire hydrant wreath to a fire hydrant.
What would happen if he made a mistake and he didn't put it on his dad and he put it on the serpent?
Everything would have exploded. That's not even a joke. You place the necklace around your father's, neck. That's where it goes.
I start giving him CPR so that when the pendant heals him, I get the credit.
You see the blood slowly seeping back into his body.
I take a bunch of pictures and make a GIF that makes it look like he's fucking his dad. And post it on Tumblr.
It gets like 3,000 reblogs or something. Soon he will be healed. Time passes. He is healed.
Oh, thank God.
Dad.
Hey, son, where'd you come from?
I was drawn by your horrible emotional abuse.
Come to take a run at your own man, aren't you? Well, no. That's very brave.
No. You dummy. I love you. I came to save you from those displacer beasts.
That's very touching. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be laughing. Well, save me you did, son. Save me you did. This is twice you've saved me. And the first was from myself. Because he was raging, remember?
Right, right.
It's funny.
I thought you were talking about your alcoholism.
Oh, that too. Three times.
Three times, right. That after-school special where I poured it down the drain.
Can I tell you guys something?
Please.
I don't know why I ate that shard. It just seemed cool. I wanted you guys to like me.
Do we have any Ipecac or is it...
All on the stomach.
What?
All on the stomach.
Ooh! Take the portable hole and throw it onto his stomach and get the shard out.
That's stupid, isn't it?
That is stupid.
Yeah.
That was from the audience. That was from
portable
the audience.
A portable hole can only be placed
on a flat
surface.
You can't just do that shit. Tell them what a portable hole's about.
A portable hole is a circle of fabric about 3 to 4... I already explained what a portable hole is.
Can't just be throwing it on people and taking shit out of them.
Dad, you gotta trust me. These shards need to be dealt with care under magical supervision. You are a man of barbarism. I am a man of magic. I know you never approved of it, but maybe it was fate that I would come back into your life now when you've encountered these things. Like, you know, just give me your shard when you poop it out.
Summon squirrels!
Olaf summons a horde of squirrels.
I just saw that.
As a gnome, you're very jealous of his ability to summon multiple squirrels at once.
So now we're surrounded by squirrels?
Yeah.
Squirrel, ding, 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 ding. You'll be a woman soon.
We have to come up with a way to conclude this chapter here.
Well, I feel like we have to get the shard out of your father's stomach, right?
Just then, you hear an intense humming sound. It sounds like it's coming from above. It gets louder and louder, and then it's pierced by a deafening, cracking crescendo. You look up and see a huge rift opening in the morning sky. A red scar in the otherwise blue expanse, and black shapes begin flooding out of it. These dark, metallic, sleek ships float on air as easily as if it were sea and sail forward without need for sails. The humming subsides, but you can hear a distinct popping sound. Black cylinders rain down from the ships, plummeting to earth with heavy crashes and thuds. The fleet of ships sails swiftly away. Mango's face grows serious. You can hear a far-off voice saying, "Soon it will all be over!"
That's Admiral Darkstar. Admiral Darkstar.
I recognize that voice anyway, yeah.
Wait. I hit rewind so I can hear that voice again. Say that.
Pick something else for me to say. That wasn't very clever.
I summon better catchphrase.
Soon the Darkstar will dawn and all will be led to ruination.
All right. That's a good cliffhanger.
Wow.
Boy. All right.
Let's hear it for Spencer, everybody, our dungeon master. Yeah. Well, look, Ryan,
thank you so much for letting me be a part of that.
What do you get the man who has everything, you know?
That was really nice.
We couldn't have done it without you because you had that big...
I think you did do it without me, actually.
No, we used a lot of stuff off your cart. You used your shoot gun.
I didn't even see half that stuff till halfway through.
I've had these character sheets for months. I've never really looked at them. I have no idea.
Or asked me anything about any part of the game ever.
So... You two don't talk outside of the show?
We have a whole tour, Spencer.
Are you going on tour?
Yeah, I'm going on tour.
Oh, excellent.
Amazingly, this is a draw of the show.
Yeah, it is. And our poster...
So you don't really need them.
Well, I do now, for now.
Oh.
I think we're making, as part of our merchandise, we're gonna make our tour poster is going to be a D&D map of all the places that we're going across the country.
That's great.
Awesome. Yeah, and there's a button that says like it's an I love Spencer, but it's instead of a heart, it's a 20-sided die.
Oh
That's awesome.
Then it doesn't make sense, does it?
No.
I die Spencer.
I roll Spencer.
Which is
I
a, random that's chance. That's what his uncle said to him before he died. He's going to see it and he's going to fucking flip.
Ryan, do you have any advice for us before we embark on this journey?
Oh, it's a long trip. You could teach Spencer to count on that trip. That would be nice. It's going to be fun for you, Dan. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Really? Yeah. Did you hear what Patton was saying?
No.
He was dire. It was...
Well, he plays different places than you're going to play.
Yeah, maybe.
Sure yeah. Really? You got friends. You're with friends. He probably gigs alone, right?
Yeah, well, no. He was with Maria Bamford and I don't know, Brian Posehn and Gallagher. I can't remember. I didn't see the movie.
Gallagher or Farnakis.
All right. Well, let's.
Where's your first date?
Phoenix on the 10th.
That'll be great. Good stuff. Yeah. We'll have fun.
And that's a calming influence.
We're going to be up in your neck of the woods, up in Washington.
Look me up. Are you? Where are you playing up there?
Where are we going to be? I don't know.
Slappies?
This is important stuff to find out before you actually take off in the bus.
Yeah. No, but I'm going to come up and join you, but we're going to be up like in Portland and somewhere up there. I don't know.
Portland, beautiful. Yeah. Seattle's slutty little sister city.
How do we end the show, Jeff?
I think you and Ryan rap.
No. I'll tell you what I'd like to see. I'd like to see a bit of rap mixed in with a bit of retarded Elvis to end the show.
Now there's a couple tracks that Ryan Elder, our musical director, has given us. We haven't done this one. It says smooth jazz. Let's try a couple of these and see what we got here.
Oh yeah.
It's Harmontown. Harmontown.
What about this one? We have funky horns too.
Thanks for coming. And don't forget to brush your teeth. Dental safety is the key to happy. Brush your teeth. Don't let them get crappy. Eat apples and other kinds of fruit.
I don't give a hoot.
Floss daily or you'll get cavities. Fuck your mama till she falls to her knees.
Let's thank Eric Idle, everybody, for coming out. Patton Oswalt. Spencer. Ryan Stiles, everybody. Thank you so much for coming tonight. We're going to miss you all. We're going to be gone for a month. And when we come back, I want to see all of you here to welcome us back home, please.
And thank you guys in the back for, that couldn't have been fun standing back there. Thank you for being loyal Armenians back there. Fuck your mama, gonna fuck your mama good.
Yeah.
Fuck your mama like she was a piece of wood. Fuck your mama like a rock and like a dirt. I fuck your mama cause I don't like to flirt. I fuck your mama. Fuck her good and hard. Fuck your mama like a magic crystal shard. Fuck your mama like a third level magic user. Fuck your mama cause she is a heroin abuser. That was off meter. Doesn't mean your mama doesn't deserve my wiener. Fuck your mama, but I'm a dick inside her mouth. East,
north,
west,
north,
this south.
Yeah.
South. Fuck your mama like salt and pepper. Fuck your mama. Okay. All right.
Thank you, everybody, for coming.
Sorry about my sobriety. Sorry about your. Sorry about everything. And we'll see you back in LA. We're going to try to put together a big show, a really big show, when we come back. Like a major one. You guys have been fantastic for over a year, and now we're going to go out and see how bad it gets. Good night.